I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
6:10, and man, it's a busy day. We're getting to the top six at six here pretty quickly. Chuck Todd coming up. Lourdes Duarte coming up. Lourdes is going to come by and talk about a story that she did this week that you can still see at WGNTV.com.
Yeah, she aired part two of it, I think, last night. It was very, very good. I'm not sure if it's a two- or three-part series.
And in addition to that, Pat Brady will be here. We talk politics every Thursday for at least the hour. Dean After Eight and Carrie Woods, Sarah Wood, will be on the show this morning as well.
Excellent.
His wife.
Yeah, but I mean, I just feel like Carrie Wood, Sarah Wood sort of makes the, you know, the so people can identify quickly. He doesn't own her.
Right.
If it sounded like that.
We're just going to start calling him Sarah's husband now.
Yeah, Mr. Wood.
Mr. Wood.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm just trying to get the cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Sometimes words are hard to find. 6:11. Let's do the six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, how many children have to get shot? Those are the words of the father of a student killed last week at a Florida high school. Pressing President Trump to act, it should have been one school shooting. We should have fixed it, he added during an incredibly emotional hour or so of a public conversation that took place in a, quote, listening session with President Trump and Vice President Pence and Secretary of Education Voss. It was it's hard to watch. Hard to watch and hard to believe we live in a country that has come to this. President wrapped the thing up, mostly wrapped it up by talking about the need for teachers to be armed. I couldn't disagree more. Certainly people have a right to have the discussion, and the discussion will be had. I just don't know where the common sense has gone, but lots to discuss about that this morning. Did you watch it?
I watched some of it, yes. It was gut-wrenching.
Yeah, really hard.
It just...
really hard.
Those kids, I'm saying, out of anything, this is a new movement, Steve. If anything comes of this, the students with their voices, and I know there's another part of the top six at six to this too, the students are just conducting themselves in such a fluent, calm, orderly manner because they want action too. They're sick of it.
Absolutely. And Chicago area high school students walked out. Hundreds of high school students around Chicago and around the country walked out of school yesterday. It's a national movement. And these kids have energy. They're passionate about it. The important piece of this will be a stick-to-itiveness that can be hard because you're young. You ought to be mostly concerned with working hard in school and having a good time. And this is not a good time. But this is something that has to be done, and the students are leading the way.
There were three schools locally, Oak Park River Forest, Batavia, and Schaumburg, where the students all walked out around 1 o'clock. And this was so telling that the principal from one of the schools said that students were orderly, peaceful.
Right.
They were out of the building for a half an hour, and they went right back to class when they returned.
Right, right. Just making the point. The power of protest when protest can actually work.
Did you see, by the way, Major League Baseball tomorrow for all the Cactus and Grapefruit League openers? Mm-hmm. Players are going to wear Stoneman Douglas High School caps.
That's great. It's great. Anytime you can keep it in the conversation, that's important. So good for MLB for stepping up with that as well. Last night, CNN held a town hall, equally hard to watch. I give Senator Marco Rubio great credit for showing up. However, he said, yep, he's going to keep taking NRA money. Because the NRA supports his agenda. Well, you know, the KKK may support your agenda. The organized crime may support your agenda. At some point, you have to make a moral choice. And I think this is the point to make a moral choice. And before you jump on to text her and claim I'm throwing the NRA in with the KKK and the mafia, only parts of it. Quack me.
Quack.
All right, here we go. Daniel Biss and J.B. Pritzker clash over who's the bigger Madigan ally.
Right.
No, you like Madigan more. No, you like Madigan more. Chris Kennedy had to sit out the debate. He had a bad back issue yesterday. And this, Ford Motor Company has thrown the head of the company out, the head of North American operations, a guest on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the person had issues.
Nope.
They seemed like they were fine people when they were here.
Yes, they did.
But I didn't frisk them.
Well, you don't know people's backstories.
So it's one interview. What am I supposed to have? Inappropriate behavior is the term they're using in quotes. Other than that, it appears to be an HR discussion. It's none of our damn business. But the Ford Motor Company will have a new leader. There's an interim head, I think, that was appointed today.
Yeah, the vice president, the current vice president is now the interim head.
Quack me.
Quack.
Loyota. Loyota. No, it's not Loyota. It's Loyola. Loyola clinched the Missouri Valley title with a win over Southern Illinois in a big way, 75-56. Man, they've had a good year.
Who's booing at Salukis? Oh, you're booing Loyola.
Yeah, because they beat the Salukis.
Yeah. But they've had a fine year. So they step up in the
They've
program.
Had a great year.
Yeah.
They've had a great year, and they have sold out the Gentile Arena, where they play their home games for Saturday's finale against Illinois State.
Nice.
First time since they reconfigured the building that they've had a sellout.
That's tremendous.
That's cool.
It's great. Good for them.
Yep. It's exciting.
How about another quack?
Quack.
Quack.
American women's hockey. Gold medal winners, baby.
Yeah. All right.
Congratulations.
The women are kicking butt in the Olympics.
Yeah, they really are. Sadly, the game started at 10:05.
I know.
Yeah,
so about three people. So you know how great it would have been? And I know it's a time zone thing and everything else. But how great it would have been for little girls around this country to be able to see these women win the same way they saw the American women's soccer team win the World Cup all those years ago.
Absolutely. I watched until Lindsey Vonn skied, and then I went to bed about 9:30. So
it ended about 1:15.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
By the way, Lindsey Vonn's second run ended when she clipped a gate right out of the gate, and therefore she could not win the combined.
So. But the first run that she did last night, so good. So good.
And did Michaela Schifrin medal? I don't even
know. She did. Yeah. Silver medal.
Silver medal? Okay. Mm-hmm.
She skied well, too, obviously.
I mean, she's only 22, so she's got, you know, a long time to ski.
Yes.
90 miles an hour.
And you know what's nice? It's nice to see, too.
Super fast.
When Lindsay finished her run, she's interviewed. When Michaela finished her run, she's interviewed. And they both, of course, have just such great support for each other. But it's really neat to see kind of Lindsay mentoring her.
Oh, I think behind closed doors, they're vicious.
No, they're not.
Vicious.
I hope not.
The same way two dudes would be.
No.
You put stick them on her skis.
No, you suck. That slowed her down a little bit, too.
Yeah, a little bit.
By the way, you know, Dave, look this up for me because I don't have the names in front of me. The cross country winners from two nights ago are in South Korean time is actually shown last night. This is the cross country American winners.
I'm trying to
Diggets.
Diggins, go ahead and use the internet, Diggins. Dave. It's not Diggins. A quiz. You don't have to know it off the top of your head. But the two women, Mary Vanderbilt, incredible.
That to me was the best thing in the whole Olympics.
Cool. Yeah, Jessica Diggins.
And Casey Schmacy.
Keegan Randall.
Yeah, Keegan Randall. Who brought it home? Was it Diggins?
This is her fifth
Diggins.
Olympics.
Yeah, Diggins.
I think it was Diggins.
Brought, yeah,
Diggins. But then collapsed.
Incredible.
I would
collapsed
too.
In a big hug. Did
going
you see him
straight
hugging?
up a hill for the 97th time on these laps. Their thighs had to be on fire like never before.
You know how they don't finish
flying down the hill on these cross-country skis as fast as possible, and she's pounding those poles into the ground, and she clips the Norwegian and wins it and collapses.
I don't know how they don't finish the race and just get sick. I mean, you've been
incredible.
Nonstop for hours.
It was really cool. It was a cool call because, you know, a lot of people just want to write off cross-country skiing. Oh, isn't that cute? Look at him skiing.
Yeah.
It was as athletic and as exciting a thing as you'll ever see in Olympics. Yeah. Well, I would highly recommend you check it out online.
It's never been a real strong point for the U.S. Olympians. This was only
we've never won a medal.
The women had never won.
That's what I'm saying.
There was one, I think, one man won a silver medal, I think, a few years ago.
Yeah, and he cheated. Oh, no, I don't know.
No, he did not.
Koch was his name. K-O-C-H, yeah. The guy who won.
And he went on to be a big Republican banker and one of a pair of brothers who has a lot of money. No, that's a different one.
Different Koch entirely.
That's your top six. And Nick's coming up. We'll talk a little show business here in just a second, and then we'll get back with all the political news and try to get some conversation going, too, about solving the world's problems. Can't get it all done by 10, but we'll get some of it done.
We'll try anyway.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Another night with nothing to do. We can't get stuck at home again.
Talk to Nick. You're a big Hawks fan, and the Hawks win late.
What to see?
Troy Murray and I worked out okay. One in a shootout. Who scored the winning goal?
It was Nick Schmaltz with the go-ahead goal
Schmaltzy.
In the seventh round.
Schmaltzy.
After the cat, or Brinkser. Brinkser.
Kitty. Kitty cat.
Kitty, yes. Kitty cat. He scored early, and he and Kaner scored earlier in the shootout.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, it's a 3-2 Hawks win. Fat lady's not in line yet.
And by the way, Troy looked good. Did you see him?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Guy can still skate.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he's my age. He's old.
It's not old.
That's
You're not old.
Steve. You're not old. He's
good
not
call.
Old.
Good call by both of you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Nick now as we talk a little show business. Good morning, Nick.
How are you?
You know, I'm all right. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right.
All right. Good talk. Andrea, that's how guys catch
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. No hugs, no anything.
So
like
I'm
that.
Seeing tons of commercials for this and promotions for game night. Now,
yeah.
game night, a couple's thing that has become sort of a way to socialize in the suburbs that's no different than the way people would play games in the past. But now it's a, hey, why don't you come over for game night? Hey, we're going to have game night. Yeah. However, this one blends in murder.
Right. Right. The great Jason Bateman. Is in it, and Rachel McAdams, Kyle Chandler, Jesse Plemons. And the idea is that this couple, they have game night every week, and it gets kicked up a notch when Jason Bateman's brother, played by Kyle Chandler, decides that he wants to do a murder mystery party. And then, unfortunately, reality starts to creep in when real guns show up, and some people get kidnapped, and some people get killed, and they can't tell reality from what is the game.
It seems like a cool premise.
It is, and it's a great premise, and it's a great cast, and the trailer is, you know, the trailer is very funny. It just, it's weird because this sounds exactly like the David Fincher movie with Michael Douglas called The Game, with him and Sean Penn, when you never know what's real and what's the game, but it's like the comedic version of the David Fincher movie, The Game, and I'm looking forward to it because I'm a huge Jason Bateman fan.
Yeah, same here.
And,
what's the buzz on it?
The buzz is that it's good, and the guys who wrote it wrote Horrible Bosses, which I
oh, there you go. That's all you
love.
Need. Case closed. It's done. It's a fantastic movie. I don't even need to see it. I'm just going to send them $14. I'm not even going to see the movie.
If I could just point out, art imitating life, if you invited me to a game night, I would consider murdering you. I do not understand games, groups socially. My aunt used to do Bunko. Like, I don't want you all to come
Bunko.
Over.
Does anybody play Bunko anymore? That would used to be a big thing in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. It's still huge.
My mom plays it.
My sister's in a group.
I hate interacting
Bunko
that way.
And Canasta.
What is wrong with you?
If the kids...
You like games?
I know. One time I heard on Bill and Wendy, their psychologist person they talk to all the time, said how good games are for kids and their mind and development. And the kids, every time they like...
Well, if a family's going to play a game,
you know,
that's one thing.
Socially.
But you invite other people in to play a game. Well, now you got nothing but trouble.
I don't want to play games with the kids. No, they know. They're like, well, you guys aren't really game players. That's true. We don't play games at
Games are fun like once a year, maybe?
No.
But
like Monopoly that takes like 3 hours.
By the way, is the prison camp at your house open all day?
I know. It's awful. I'm like, here, go play a video game by yourself. I don't want to sit there with the board.
Why don't you act like other kids? Go in the room, close the door, and not get any exercise.
Don't talk to us.
Sometimes they'll call at their mom's house and they're like, oh yeah, we're watching the football game, we're also playing life,
we're having fun as a family. How come we don't do that at our house?
You know, my friend
like,
and I
were not that fun.
My friend and I were talking about, you know, what we did as kids and our parents. So if you'd walk in the room while your parents were playing cards or something, they'd look at you and go, what are you doing in here?
Right, there was no interaction.
What do you want?
Right.
Go back in the
actually
other room.
That's not true. I was heavily involved when I was a kid. My parents played euchre, which is, you know, euchre, the card game?
Oh, yeah.
And I would bring them beer. So I felt like I was part of
that's
the
that's what I did when my parents played whist.
Yeah. What's whist?
It's a British card game.
Yeah, they, know West.
So the Belgiques always got together and played that like every weekend. I'd serve the beer.
My parents went to a card game every Saturday night when I was growing up. And, you know, the beer thing is real. I would bring beer. But it was every Saturday night, and it was in the 70s, so all I did was sit down in front of the TV and watch the CBS lineup.
Yep.
Yeah.
Every Saturday night.
See, that's good parenting.
You know, it would be
raised by television.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then it would all end with Carol Burnett. It was every Saturday night.
We remember that HBO show in the early days of HBO with Brian
Brian Benben.
Oh,
yeah.
And Dream On, and his entire life was affected by the fact that he was raised by TV. It was like, hey, it could have been you or me, Nick.
You know what, though? Look at all of our grandparents. My grandpa learned English when it was out, you know, watching television. Many people come to this country and learn.
But you're talking about the positive effects of TV, not something that drives you into show business like
okay,
Nick
well,
and I.
That's true. You guys are the exception to the rule.
All right, so we're recommending, without fully knowing whether it's great, Game Night, but we believe it will be. What's Annihilation?
Annihilation is a science fiction movie based on a best-selling trilogy of novels written by Jeff Vandermeer. It stars Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Gina Rodriguez, and Tessa Thompson, and they play these women that go into this forest that's been affected by what they call the Shimmer. And once you go inside the Shimmer, there's all kinds of new creatures that are evolving and monsters, and it gets really freaky, from what I understand. Like, really, the guy who made this movie made Ex Machina, which is a terrific movie if you've not seen that one. And it's supposed to be, like, mind-bending science fiction. Like, you walk in, and when you walk out, it's like, what was that?
This is
really weird.
Did you say this is Natalie Portman?
Yes.
I saw the trailer. The trailer is very, very compelling. It looks like a very entertaining, gripping movie, but I just can't get behind the idea that Natalie Portman is the most courageous person in our group. She's about 4'11".
Right. Well, the other thing that I find, and I mean, because I love Natalie Portman, I think she's
funny too. She's tremendous, but she's tiny.
But she is. She is tiny. And one of my favorite shots in the entire movie, in the entire trailer that I've seen, is her with a gigantic submachine gun screaming and blowing stuff up. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Little Natalie Portman being Rambo.
Yeah, kind of lost me. Yeah. All right. Your next film club screening is one of the great movies of all time. And, I'm not kidding when I say this.
You're out of town.
And you're out of town. Yeah, it's just brutal. Albert Brooks made a movie called Lost in America. What year was that? I don't even know.
85.
Has it really been that long?
It's been that long,
Holy crap, wow. Batman. That's unbelievable. anyway, you got to see this. And I highly recommend Nick's Film Club in general, but I'm saying you have to go to this one unless you're out of town with me. Where and when?
It is Tuesday, March 6th. At the AMC Rosemont 18, formerly Movico. You can go to amctheaters.com and get your tickets. And it truly is, seriously, I'm prone to hyperbole, but this is truly one of the greatest American comedies ever made. And without hesitation, one of the best movies I've ever
seen. True that.
And prone to hyperbole is a good movie, too, but that's not the one we're talking about.
To tie this all up in a bow, Nick, I got to ask you and Steve real quick, have you guys seen Ellen's Game of Games? Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Mm-hmm. I think it's so highly entertaining.
I think it's a little mean.
You do? Okay.
I agree with you.
Okay. I'm just curious what you guys thought.
I think it's entertaining. I just think she revels too much in the fear of others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've dubbed it Ellen is a Sadist. That's what I call it.
I think I'm on the same page with Nick on this one. Nick knows Sadist.
Yeah.
Follow you on social media all over the place and be a part of the action that we call the Nick DiGilio Experience and the fan club screening of Lost in America Tuesday night, March 6th. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, buddy.
Headlines next, 720 WGN. I'm friends with the
monsters. Oh, he's a monster.
I'm sitting there tweeting. Monster. Big, big, big tweeting.
Monster. I love you. It's a guy, but I love you.
The Steve Cochran Show continues at 6:43. After 7, Pat Brady joins us in studio. Our friend Lourdes Duarte from WGN-TV, Channel 9, 4 o'clock newscast.
Yes.
We like Lourdes.
Does a great job.
Should be in studio.
Great part of the investigative unit, too.
Host of Meet the Press, MTP Daily on MSNBC and the 1947 podcast, the legend himself, Chuck Todd. Good morning, Mr. Todd.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
I was thinking about you last night because my kids are older. You still have school-age kids. Is your perspective or your level of fear changed in the last week?
Well, what's on this one, This is the first one where I have somebody I know who's at that school. And it was, to me, this is a reminder. There was an interesting Washington Post story yesterday about how, if you go back to 1999 in Columbine, there's 150,000 Americans who have been at a school at the time of a school shooting.
Let that number sink in. 150,000.
Right. Now, times that by 10. Okay? So let's just give everybody a circle of 10 people that know them and know this. All right? So now you have, now times that by 10. You see my point here. We are now a nation where it doesn't get very long to know somebody who knows somebody.
Sure.
Who's either been at a mass shooting, or has a friend who's experienced a mass shooting. Or, sadly, perhaps even somebody who knows somebody who's killed during a mass shooting. And the reason I bring this up is that if you remember during the gay marriage debate,
yep,
gay rights debate, same-sex marriage, you know, this was a polarizing issue until it wasn't, right? Until all of a sudden, and what did it? People knew people. Oh, Uncle John is gay. Aunt Mary is yep. gay. Oh, you know, everybody. And suddenly the stigma went away because of the personal connection. There's something about this gun debate that may change because of this issue, right? The idea that there's more of a shared consciousness of these acts, and there's more, and so people aren't looking at them through the eyes of politics, but looking through the eyes of humans, right, themselves.
And maybe we saw a little bit of that.
I think this changes.
And maybe we saw a little bit of that last night on CNN with Marco Rubio having to look in the eyes of kids who had suffered this and seen this and will never be over it. Because
and he had to do Pulse nightclub. He was the senator during the Pulse nightclub right. shooting in Orlando. You know, you know, everybody's human at the end of the day. Okay.
Right.
Not Republican, not Democrat. And you know, at some point you these hit you differently. And I think where I look at it for myself, you know, you look at it as a sort of almost as a clinician, right? You're sort of looking at it, try not to touch it, right, from above. And then here I'm touched by it personally, right? I think that there's, this is where I think, I'm not saying major change is going to happen today or tomorrow, but in 5 years, if we sort of have a sea change in what gun laws look like in this country, we may look back at this moment.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a great point. And the thing that's striking and incredibly frustrating to me is, regardless of where you are on this, this is not cancer. This is not a great mystery that we're trying to solve with the greatest medical minds in the world, and billions of dollars have to be thrown at it, and maybe we find it tomorrow, or maybe we find it in 100 years. This is an eminently solvable problem. Even with 300 million opinions in this country, this is solvable. And the thing that's getting in the way of it is politics. And that's unbelievably frustrating to me. Andrea Sadich.
Hey, Chuck. You know, we had three different walkouts here in the Chicagoland area. Schaumburg, Batavia, Oak Park River Forest High School, too. And everything.
Naperville North.
Yep. Everything that's coming out. As we've heard, these students are fluent. They're calm. They're not creating any disorder. And even the teachers and principals are saying, you know what? They go outside. They do their thing. They come back to class. So it's orderly. So I do agree with you. I think there is a movement that is starting here. But my question to you is the resistance by the current politicians, the Marco Rubios, who during the town hall said, well, I'm not going to stop taking money from the NRA because people are buying into my agenda. And then a bit of the Trump resistance, too. I know he did what he did with bump stocks and that proposal, but arming right. teachers.
Right, which is another NRA position.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, the cynic in me says, oh, sounds like somebody just want to sell more guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think we got to remember the NRA is nothing more than a trade association that represents gun manufacturers. Right. And at the end of the day, their job is to promote the purchasing of guns. And I think it is sort of an odd thing that they've been able to rebrand themselves as something of a sportsman's group or this or that's group, you know, which is good branding on their part, you know, obviously, because nobody, you know, wants to be known as simply a lobbyist. But that's what they are. And I think that they're, you know, I don't think their power has been in rebranding gun ownership and making it a patriotic issue. Right. And I think that ultimately is something that those advocating for more gun control legislation need to understand that this isn't about NRA donations. This is about how they've culturally redefined gun ownership. And that is what the gun control advocates need to realize, is they need to work very hard at sort of redefining who the NRA is and redefining what gun ownership is. It's both a right and a privilege. And I think the NRA has forgotten the privilege part of this. And I think if you figure out some, you've got to get there, and you got to sort of, because that's what they did. That's what they did here. They created a culture. So people think a gun ban is somehow un-American, which is just crazy.
Yeah, it's right? Absolutely.
And it's turned into some un-American aspect. If I want to, I want to prevent the commercial sale of the AR-15.
Well, it's not an American
thing to do.
And the notion that a Congress that can't agree how to pay for the bills that we've already accrued in this country, can't even come up with a budget, is somehow going to manage, even if this was existed and it doesn't, somehow going to manage to overturn the Constitution and take away the Second Amendment. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Now, here's the thing that it always is missing in the gun debate, that for instance, is usually how you solve, for instance, when there's a debate about energy resources. What's wrong with the all of the above approach? You know, what's wrong with improving the background check system, looking at the age limits, looking at which guns should be for sale, which shouldn't? You know, I've never understood why we don't have a staggered background check system. You know, hey, all right, fine. You don't want to lower the, you don't want to raise the age from 18 to 21. Make an 18-year-old go through a 2-week background check instead of a 3-day one.
Right.
You don't want, you know, there's so many ways to potentially try different things. But everybody needs to wake up to the fact that just about every mass shooting has been conducted by somebody who bought a gun legally.
Right.
You know, not who bought a gun illegally. So you got to say to yourself, it's too easy to buy a gun. It's too easy for crazy people to buy a gun. And the whole goal needs to be, how do we keep crazy people from buying guns?
And
why isn't that the center of every conversation?
And to your point, you need an all-of-the-above approach, because the line has been moved to the point where it's going to feel like a victory to have something like bump stock bans be put into place, which is such an ultimate no-brainer. Even the NRA got on board after Vegas until everybody's attention span moved. So we need an all-or-nothing approach.
The good news is, Steve, They've waited long enough to ban it that anybody who's want one has already bought one. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and there are 1.5 million AR-15s out in the public as of last year again. This is not an attack on legal gun ownership in this country. You can argue all day that we have too many. There's too many already out there. This is a way to limit the carnage in something that should be as simple as getting up and going to school and doing your work and coming home.
Mm-hmm.
In the safest neighborhoods in the world.
I have to say, you know, where I'm also just, I fear we're going down a road where there's only going to be agreement, an ability to agree, compromise on the idea of basically making schools more prison-like, you know, single point of entries, metal detectors, and this or that, and you're just asking yourself, you know, what's that going to do to kids? Like, is that the right environment? Is that a good learning environment? Is that a, you know, there's been just as many arguments. I talked with Darnie Duncan, former head of the Chicago school system and obviously Secretary of Education. And he talked about it was a big deal when he took a metal detector out of a school.
Right.
That it was proof that the school was safe, that the neighborhood was coming back. That a metal detector was a symbol of an unsafe neighborhood. A school metal detector.
Now they're talking Teflon backpacks, too.
Yeah, you know, so it seems to be that's giving up, right? That's giving up freedom. We're being asked to give up our freedoms and give up a whole bunch of student freedoms for the right of a hobbyist's freedom.
Yeah, it's completely,
you know,
upside
down. That is a completely upside down way of thinking. We are going to impact the freedom of students to learn in a safe environment, in order for somebody to be able to buy their AR-15.
You know, last night at the CNN debate, the NRA spokeswoman that was there, and I refuse to give her publicity, I'm not a fan, but her argument also struck me, too, because it's another one of the main core NRA arguments, which has just proven to be absolute nonsense. And her argument about the age limit was that if you're old enough to go in to the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, then you're old enough to buy a gun. There is 100 miles of difference between somebody that signs up to get proper training, regulation, and to fight for this country, than somebody who at the age of 14 or 15 can walk into a gun store and or go to a fair and buy a gun. It's not even logical.
Well, here's what I think the bluff should be called. It's like, Madam NRA spokesperson, because I'm with you. I'm not sure she's worthy of giving a lot of attention to. But Madam NRA spokesperson, you're right. So if an 18-year-old should go through military training before they're allowed to buy a gun, that's a great idea.
Right.
You know, call the bluff. It's like, look, fine, you're absolutely right. Somebody who signs up at 18 and it wants to get the proper training to get great. Any 18-year-old that wants to do that and is willing to go through the proper training, great. There you go. So then you're talking a 6-week program. That's my point on this. Like that's where we should go and find the gaps here. It's like, okay, we'll create 6-week waiting periods for 18-year-olds. That's a good idea. You know, sort of turn it around on their argument.
Yep, completely agree.
And you know. Confront, you know, call their bluff. Say, you're right.
I want to pose this.
18-year-olds should get training.
I want to pose this question to both of you. Chuck, you brought up a very poignant point. All of the guns in these shootings have been purchased legally. So how is a gun shop owner, if somebody comes in, they pass the background check, they go through, you know, they're unfortunately, the suspects are doing everything right in this case. How is a gun shop owner going to know that person has a mental illness and not sell them a gun?
Right. I just think it's because they're not qualified to do this. I think the background check system needs to really be a lot more stringent, a lot more serious. It shouldn't be gun show owners that have to do it. They should be able to run somebody through a database. I think you could come up with different ways. Maybe you go and have to go to a DMV to pick up your license and go through that testing system. And then maybe you show your license and you see this. I mean, there are ways to create a sophisticated background check system. You just have to follow the DMV model, if you will. But then, of course, the NRA would say, oh, then you're registering gun owners.
You know,
I've never understood. You know, you sit there and say, yeah, so?
Yes, and?
Right. You know, it's like, do you get a driver's license? You know? Okay. You get a gun permit. But you make it a serious background check. For that, and you go through and look. Maybe you could create almost, you know, certain people. I believe that the school systems should be able to enter stuff into the background check system.
Completely,
you know, the Broward County school system should have been able to put a red flag in the background check system that said we expelled this student for violent behavior. And look, maybe from 18 to 20, maybe after if you don't. Maybe at 25, you can get that expunged out of your background check, but it's almost like a credit score, right? It stays on your, it stays in the system for a little while so that it's an extra red flag. I mean, there are, to me, some sort of common sense ways you could fix this background check system and start to at least make a little progress.
It goes right back to what you said in the beginning, and I'll let you go on this, but I mean, everything, I told my kids the entire time that they were little, when they were growing up, everything's hard until it isn't. There was a time in this country where women weren't allowed to vote, where blacks were treated like second-class citizens and in a violent way. As you said, gay marriage, seatbelts, and taking off your shoes at the airport. We've somehow come to understand that all of these things are now a part of American life. And I believe in the goodness of this country, and I believe we will get there with guns. I just hope it's tomorrow and not 20 years from now.
No, I don't think 20 years, but remember, if you think about the Brady Bill and the assault weapons ban in 94, that was a result of all the workplace shootings of the 80s. All right? But it took 8 to 10 years. This may take 8 to 10 years.
Chuck Todd hosts to Meet the Press, MTP Daily. And, of course, you also get that fabulous podcast, 1947. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. See you, man.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sing it.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. Because I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
We should roll out the Havana bun for Lourdes.
Oh, yeah.
On air meeting here. Lourdes Duarte's here. Hi.
Hey.
Do you know you're my favorite Cuban?
I'm your favorite. How many do you know?
What is you? We actually have an idea, which I don't know if you'll sign up for, but I'll bring it up on the air.
Okay.
As you know, we're the Chicago White Sox station now.
Okay.
And
I've heard about this.
And we've got three prominent Cuban MLBers on the White Sox who have trouble with English. So we're thinking every time we have an opportunity to talk to them, we call you to translate.
I can totally do
right?
that.
You're standing by on the phone, right?
That
and who knows?
Fantástico.
Yeah,
si,
and
vamos.
Here's the thing. Fantástico, Pat, that means good.
Good-o.
It means fantastic.
Good-o. Did you hear the story about her dad?
What are you talking about?
He came over from Cuba on a raft in the 60s. He escaped.
Yeah, no, you've told me this.
I've told you this.
Yes, it's a fabulous story. I'm not sure how it relates to this chunk of the conversation.
You're talking about Cuba.
It's a fabulous story.
Right? Should I tell it?
Yes, of course, now.
Yeah, so my dad had been fighting the revolution, Castro, and so he had been jailed a number of times, had his dad finally told him, you're either going to have to get out of here and escape, or you're going to wind up dead or in jail. So him and five other guys put together this makeshift raft, set it off. They were at sea for 7 days, were finally found by the U.S. Coast Guard.
Off the coast of Miami?
Off the coast of the Florida Keys, I believe. After 7 days, they were burned. They had run out of food. I mean, they were 19 years old, so they didn't really prepare quite the way they should have.
So they were close to dead. I mean, if they hadn't been found.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But back then, it didn't happen as often as it happens today. So,
and you've been back, right? Did you go?
I have not. So my dad and I have been trying to plan this trip to go to Cuba, and he wanted to take me to the spot where they actually launched that raft.
See, that would be cool.
Oh, you should definitely do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think at some point we're going
to
do it.
What is the restrictions changed? I don't know the answer to this.
They have. I believe we should be able to go.
Because you went 10 minutes after they opened it.
I went, when they opened it up, but it was a strange grace period. You have to go under either seven, there has to be one of seven reasons that you go, and ours was educational journey. Like, you can't go as reporter.
Andrea now is doing the air quote marks.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, exactly right.
Educational journey, as in we wanted to go. We really didn't have a reason.
We were tourists, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, my dad.
We talked about that, yeah.
So my dad still has dual citizenship. Cuban and American, and so we've talked about going, and being the daughter of Cuban immigrants, I'm allowed to go as well. But things keep fluctuating and changing so often that I don't know where we stand right now. And then there's been all those sonic attacks.
Right.
So my mom does not want us to go right now. Yeah. But I think at some point we will.
Is your mom willing to go back, or not so much?
She not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's interesting because our friend Mark DiCarlo, you know, his wife Yenny,
yes,
her family came over, and she'll have no part of it.
Right.
You know, so I think there's divergent views on it.
Yeah,
you know?
There are two sides of it. People just that don't want to contribute to that economy or contribute to communism, right? Yep. That's how they feel if they travel.
How did you feel when Obama reopened things 4 or 5 years ago? How'd your dad feel?
I think it was, my dad was happy because he still has a lot of family in Cuba that he hadn't been able to see for a long time, so he was able to go back and see them quite regularly. And he's actually been going back, I think, up once a year to see them and try and help them. So he was happy about it, but then there are others who didn't feel that that was quite the right thing to do.
Our tour guide actually had a picture of President Obama, she said, on her mantle, and they were so happy. Many of the people, not all, but many of the people were so happy that he opened up the, you know, the
Both can be true, right? Both can be true. Like, it's a great thing that their relations are reopened. It's also true that it can be exploited.
Right.
Sure.
So I want to talk about this story that you did this week.
Okay.
So here's our awkward transition. but it's still on WGNTV.com.
Yes, WGNTV.com. You can check it out.
All right. So tell me.
Okay. So we got access to the U.S. Customs and Mail Border Protection mail room out there. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that they're seeing is fentanyl coming into the U.S.
Right.
So in 2015, they had zero cases of fentanyl or zero pounds of fentanyl.
Two years ago. Okay.
By 2017, that had increased to 951 pounds of it that they had seized just in 2017.
That's what they caught.
That's not what's getting in.
Yeah.
And so then they're thinking that for 2018, that number could even double again.
Sure.
And the way that these people are getting the stuff in is that they will ship something in a box and they will send it to an apartment building. They'll use no unit number and some sort of vague name.
Okay.
And so if the stuff gets through, they will watch the delivery guys and know when they're coming by, when to stop in. They watch that box be delivered and they scoop in, take it, and go. And now it's off out on
the street. Literally, there's nobody that lives in the apartment by that name. They stake out the place.
Sometimes,
delivery
yeah.
guy comes out, wait for the door to open, grab your box and go.
Correct. Or they'll use some sort of vague name that's not spelled correctly or doesn't really quite make sense, and that's how it gets
okay, in. Here's a crazy question. So it's being brought in or flown in or distributed here. Mm-hmm. It's probably being hidden or masked. How would a border control agent or how would somebody see this and not just think it's a different medication that's legal?
Okay. Well, they've got X-ray machines at Customs and Border Protection, so a lot of their packages go through there. They've now have canine dogs. They also have new machines that they've had to bring in to test some of these things. So before, they had to open up the packages, take the stuff out, and test it that way, whereas now they've got machines where they just press up, sort of like a pointer, right up to the packages, and they can tell right away what it is. When we were there, they found huge bottles of this liquid, which they referred to it as a date rape drug, that people were trying to ship into the country. Just huge, huge. I mean, and they're so brazen about it. It's like sometimes they don't even really mask it. They're just trying to get it in. It's so cheap for them to make it overseas that if they lose two or three bottles or 20 bottles, so what?
This is fentanyl, right?
In some cases, it's fentanyl. In some cases, it's, when we were there, they found ecstasy, all sorts of drugs. But fentanyl being the big one, because that's, with the opioid crisis, that's the big one that we're talking about.
Fentanyl, my late wife had that in her last stages of cancer. And fentanyl, one shot of that scrambles your brain. Yeah. I mean, it is terrible, terribly strong.
And immediately addictive, right?
It is. And they say it's 100 times more powerful than morphine.
Yeah, it's a unbelievably potent.
And they're mixing it too now, right? Yeah.
That's part of the problem. Yeah. So it's a synthetic drug, so it's never quite made correctly. You don't know what's in it, and they'll mix it with, let's say, heroin or cocaine. And if you don't know, you've got a huge problem on your hands. And then that's the reason why a lot of people now in law enforcement and others are walking around with this Narcan or this Naloxone, which is supposed to reverse an overdose.
Which every cop ought to be able to have. By the way, how are we doing in Illinois with all this? Are we able to even quantify it? Like how much is getting in, not getting in?
I don't have numbers for Illinois specifically, but the 951 pounds, I think, was for our region, for the Midwest.
It's a terrible story, and it's amazing, too, when you think about the number of kids from the burbs who drive into some of the worst neighborhoods in the city to pick up drugs that in no way are quality controlled. It's not exactly a Walgreens, and these are kids who, when they're at home, will be very careful about the germs in and around the house, and they'll go and they'll take anything.
Yeah.
It's a completely upside-down thing.
They certainly will, and we see this crisis getting worse and worse, especially in places like Lake County. We've done the stories there just recently with their canine dogs that were just coming across this stuff, barely touching it, and the canines were overdosing themselves and either losing their lives or becoming sick. I mean, so when you can just think about a dog that's trying to sniff out drugs that
it could kill the dog. This,
it could kill a dog, so it could kill a human as well. So, yeah, it's happening.
All right, so it's on WGNTV.
WGNTV.com. Yes.
Right now.
Right
it's going to live there for a bit, but go out and go and check it out. Plus, you got another one coming up next week. Can you tease that yet or not?
Sure. I can't give out any information on it.
We'll save it. This is a professional broadcaster tease. What's coming up at 7:30?
All right.
So, you know, we're the only kids in school cool enough to be doing riddles. These are all written by John DeCoste. And, Lourdes, do you like riddles?
Are you going to make me think right now?
On this
show? 7:25 in the morning?
Come on, you've heard the show.
Oh, jeez. All right.
First correct caller. And if you want Lourdes' help, they can phone a friend.
Okay. Okay. You don't want my help.
Actually, we're doing a new thing. Phone a Cuban.
Phone a Cuban.
Phone
a Cuban. All right.
Okay. First correct caller that can tell us what famous Chicagoan we're talking about. Okay. Harry Lee was number 41 in 83 when the election was done. DeSable High, a council war break. His tenure was called Beirut by the Lake. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Don't blurt out an answer.
Read it again.
Pat Brady claims he has it. You have to read it with a certain rhythm.
You know you're going kind of fast.
Harry Lee was number 41 in 83 when the election was done. DeSable High School, a council war break. His tenure was called Beirut by the Lake.
Oh, I know this. No.
Oh, you really do have it?
I do, for real. Lourdes knows, too.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
We're looking at each other like,
312. You're trying to cheat off her now, right? If she really does. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Lourdes Duarte is here. Pat Brady is here. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
And Pat, politically, yesterday, there was one story, and that was this incredible travesty of what happened in Florida and how we're reacting to it. Did you happen to see either the CNN town hall or the president's listening session?
I watched the listening session.
Okay. Thoughts?
He's never going to be a great commander-in-chief when it comes to empathy or seizing the moment to get something done. But I do give him credit for the fact that he's come off some of the things that the Republicans or the conservative part of the Republican Party wants. Some of the background checks, maybe getting rid of that. What's the bolt?
The what?
Glock. But what's the thing?
Bump stock.
Bump stocks.
Yeah. Bump stock.
And the thing that from all the coverage and the town hall, those kids at that high school so articulate and so smart. And
I think have been amazing.
I hope the Republicans and the country doesn't misjudge the mood, because they're going to have rallies all over the country, and I think that people do want some change. Enough's enough.
Purely political, the Republican Party stands a risk to lose their ability to win elections for a generation if they continue to talk to these kids who are hurting this way like their stuff can't matter because the agenda is more important. Marco Rubio, I give Marco Rubio a lot of credit for showing up last night and facing the fire, but he literally looked a kid in the eye who saw his best friend die and said, no, I'm still going to take money from the NRA because they buy into my agenda.
Yeah, it's a problem, but it usually in these circumstances, there's a rally around the flag kind of syndrome where we realize we're all one country, we got to get something done. But there was a poll that came out before this incident amongst Republicans of whether or not they supported the assault weapons ban. 70% of Republicans supported the assault weapons ban. After this, 45%. So people are digging into their trenches, and we're going to have a political fight. But I agree with you that the party... Listen, we're a conservative party. We're pro-gun party. A lot of these things, we understand we got to win elections in the primaries. I get that. But there are some reasonable restrictions. Ronald Reagan in 1991 penned an op-ed in the New York Times saying it's time for gun restrictions. It's time to get the Brady Bill done after what he'd been through. And I agree with your point. But it's not just guns. It's mental health. And I disagree with Chuck what he said. I think we do need to make schools fortresses. If we're going to stop this, we got to make it harder.
Well, there's an immediate, a midterm, and a long-term solution. And one is stop the carnage right now.
Right.
And we know it's going to happen again. And the next time somebody walks in, are they going to have an AR-15 and be able to shoot 20 people? Or are they not? Are they going to be able to get into the school, or are they not?
Right. The guns still, the AR-15s are still there. If you passed a law today, the guns are still there. So we need to do, I think, like you said, it's get two or three
it's
things.
It's play the odds. Right. It's, you know, just continue to chip away at it, because it's just it's ridiculous. I mean, think about when you and I went to school in the 70s. Or when Lourdes and Andrea went to school.
You're
in the
older
90s.
Than I am, but yeah.
2000s.
There
and
you
the
go,
2000s. This wasn't even a consideration. Until 1999, this was not even a consideration. We used to, the joke going postal was the big thing in the 80s and 90s, because workers would snap and open fire at work. Nobody talks about opening fire at work anymore. It's, are your kids going to be safe at school?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's copycat stuff too, right? This kid said he wanted to be a school, that was his goal, to be a school shooter. How long was Columbine? 15, 20 years ago?
1999.
No, it's a problem. Yesterday, I was roaming around chasing my kids around, and I ended up walking into one of the schools, walked right in.
That's crazy. You know, if we have to take our shoes off to get on an airplane, we should have to try really hard to get into a school, including our own kids.
You and I are old enough. I remember walking on airplanes.
Of course.
And now it's, I don't even think about why.
You used to be able to walk on with your friend, say goodbye, and then get off.
Yeah. You could actually go onto the plane.
Yes.
And then, yeah, exactly.
So it's unbelievable.
Does it seem like change will come just in small increments? So they talked yesterday about age limits on these AR-15s, right? So
sure.
I wonder, do we get a little bit done and then it just goes from there?
That's the way policy changes. It's usually incremental. And we're hoping that, but to see my side dig in deeper is a little disconcerting, because people want a solution, and these kids are a very powerful voice. We can have a reasonable solutions like that. Why this kid could get this kind of gun, it would be harder to get a driver's license.
He couldn't get a drink because he was 19,
right.
So but he was able to buy an AR-15.
I said to Chuck Todd earlier, though, too, and we discussed it a little bit, that how is the gun shop owner, again, not taking one side or the other, supposed to know this gun in Florida was purchased legally. How is the gun shop owner supposed to, okay, he passed the background check, he went through all the proper channels and got the gun. How are they supposed to know that?
Well, I don't think anybody has any position holding this against legal gun shop owners,
right,
who sell a gun. I may not be in favor of their business model, but it is what it is. The thing that continues to strike me is how any politician could have such a lack of character when you're looking at a dad talking, right, about his daughter shot. Now he has to visit her at a cemetery. You don't see a reason for any change because, again, the line has been moved. Bump stocks should be a no-brainer. Right. It should have been done, right, the day after Las Vegas.
And assault weapons.
Yeah, so the NRA and the members of Congress don't get points for doing bump stocks now. Bump stocks should have been done.
Here's another thing on the left. The NRA is so powerful, and they have been for years. The left needs to get something to answer that. And I'm just talking pure political terms. The NRA is what it is. We can complain about them. I'm not a fan of them. But get an organization like these kids, get some money, and you can win this debate because the country's behind you.
But the Democrats aren't off the hook.
No.
There's Democrats that take NRA money, too.
Right.
It's not a Republican or a Democrat thing. It's a get your head out of your ass thing. It's ridiculous. And it's just maddening. I think about Abigail. She's 2 years old.
Right.
She's going to go to kindergarten in 3 years and deal with this? Mm-hmm. I mean, what are we doing?
And have to worry about a Teflon backpack.
I talked to Paul Coit last night in London. And he said, did your president really say that teachers should have guns?
Yeah, that was the one thing I was going to say from the town hall.
Yeah. 7:33. Winner is Amy in Mount Prospect. The answer to the Hawker riddle, Harold Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Harold Washington. So congratulations. Lourdes, you were going to win, but since you didn't have the answer. tickets for the Blackhawks in San Jose Friday night. Have you been to a Hawks game lately?
No. Not lately.
We got to get that done.
Okay, let's do it.
You're going to win four season. Oh, there's your song. Now I'm talking over your song.
Oh, look at that. Is this like my theme song?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're eligible for four season tickets next year. Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating and Cooling.com. And you can go ahead and crank it up. We're going to slow shake this into the break. Come on, Pat. It's a little hip thing you got to try. Oh, you got to loosen up. Might be the yoga. Back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
This would only be obviously for people that are very adept at handling a gun. And it would be, it's called concealed carry, where a teacher would have a concealed gun on them. They'd go for special training.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 7:46. Lourdes Duarte in overtime. Now she has to go play with the other kids at TV. But I want to make sure you guys see her story at WGNTV.com. And give me a little bit of what you're doing next week.
So next week, Tuesday night, I've got a story on the 50-year anniversary of the Kerner Report Commission. So this was a commission that came out of the 1960s riots.
Where, right.
Johnson appointed a number of people to look into racism in America, what led up to those riots, what they needed to do to change it to avoid that from happening again.
Sure.
And so now 50 years later, this Kerner Report has done an update on some of the things that we're doing correctly, that have improved, and some of the things that we still need to work on, and some of the things that we've regressed on, right? So there are things that he thinks that were not only meeting expectations, but we're actually declining, and we're behind where we should be. So that's coming up. 50 years later.
So much for progress.
Yeah, I know.
I'm curious to see how much progress has been made, if any.
And that's Tuesday night.
That's Tuesday night at 9 o'clock.
All right.
Yes.
On social media, what's the handle?
My handle?
Yes.
Oh, God. Let's see. What is it? Lourdes WGN, I think,
yeah,
on Facebook. And then I'm very into Instagram nowadays.
So are all the other
kids. I don't know if you are, but it's Lourdes TV News.
I'm more of a Twitter guy.
You're more of a Twitter
guy. He's Pictionary.
Okay. By the way, you continue this kind of behavior, you'll no longer be one of my friends on Pictionary.
Yeah, I'll go back to the mix, buddy, anytime.
Wow.
By the way,
he wants to be the new whipping boy.
Eric, you went low.
It's better than saying man cop.
By the way, there's a great picture.
By the way, are either one of those guys still working?
No. You did a great Instagram the other day. It was a throwback, and it was you, Ben Bradley, and Demetrius Ivory. You clearly the best picture. That Demetrius Ivory is.
Look how cute you are.
You're eating
look at you.
Oh, yeah. That was us when we were in college or just got our first TV jobs. Demetrius Ivory, though, that's a good one.
Oh, like the little.
He looks like such a weather nerd. So thank God he's changed.
His little mustache.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And Ben Bradley's trying to figure out how to scam the guy next to him. 4 o'clock news. You and Ben and Demetrius.
Correct.
And who am I missing?
And Jarrett Payton.
And Jarrett Payton.
And then we've got Aaron Ivory too, doing features for our 4 p.m. show.
Oh, you're doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
How are the numbers?
Likewise. So far, so good. They haven't kicked us off yet. So.
And I talk about this all the time, but, you know, we share a boss in Paul Rennie.
Yes.
And we like Paul.
I love Paul.
Yeah.
Paul is the best.
Love
He's
Paul.
Been
really good.
So awesome. Wonderful in our news. We've got two great leaders in our newsroom, Paul
and Jen
and
Lyons.
Jen Lyons. Yeah. You know, that place is, it's amazing.
Jen's trying to figure out how to add a 25th hour to the day so she can put another newscast on.
Yeah, it's great.
But I know you hung around a little longer. I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
Thank you
and,
for having
We're going to do a hockey game.
Okay, besos. Besos.
And besos,
besos
to you.
Besos to you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lourdes.
Oh, and you will be our translator for the White Sox?
Que sí, pues sí, claro.
Oh, you know what
yes,
you said
of
there?
Course.
Gladly.
Yes.
Gladly.
Yes. When's the next telenovela?
We haven't done one in a while. I don't know because...
You did one when Sapelsa left.
We did one with Sapelsa. We're trying to do it maybe once a year.
Yeah.
Isn't it good he's gone?
No. He's mean.
I love Mark. I'm just kidding.
No, we miss him. We miss him so much.
Well, if you're going to get played off with this.
Oh, gosh.
Thanks for coming over.
All right.
All right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Pat Brady's here. Big news in the Chicago Tribune this morning. Who did they endorse on the Dem side for governor?
Chris Kennedy. Congratulations to Eric Edelstein. His candidate got a huge endorsement. It was a great endorsement, too. And he is, on the Democratic side, I think, the only candidate to talking real issues, real reform, truth to power, taking on improving this messed up tax appeal system we have in the state. So good for him.
Speaking of the real story versus the story we see in 30-second commercials, Jeannie Ives sat down with Governor Rauner and the Trib editorial board and seemed to be very protective of Mike Madigan when the topic of Rauner going after Madigan came up. What do we know of that?
She doesn't agree. She thinks she need to deal with him, but I think anybody that's been around the state for a long time realizes that's not the answer, and I think people want reforms, and Madigan's not going to agree to them, but Jeannie Ives, who takes money from the same people that Madigan does, thinks that you need to work with him or be, you know, less.
I don't understand work with him, because work with him means do it his way.
Right. That's exactly that's what I'm trying to say.
There's another thing that developed this week that I think is worthy of mention, and that is that. Well, Pat's in some legal trouble.
I can't talk now.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. He's been asked to not say things about, specifically, the Illinois Policy Institute.
Yes, I can, on advice of counsel, myself.
Pleading the fifth.
I cannot talk about the Illinois Policy Institute.
I'll give you a perfect example. Watch. How do you feel about the Illinois Policy Institute?
I can't tell you, but you might want to read some of the Sun-Times articles on their insider dealing.
So, as reported in Sun Times.
As reported in Sun Times.
What's your favorite color?
Light blue.
Oh, I didn't think you could talk about that either.
I can't tell you.
Oh, okay. It's just another offshoot of being on this show about how well things are going. So, good for you.
Yeah, it was a nice FedEx from the folks at the Illinois Policy Institute to asking me not to comment on the Illinois Policy Institute. I guess free market people don't believe in the First Amendment.
Well, here's the deal, right? I mean, if it's not true, you don't say it. And if it is true, you do.
And if it's my opinion, I say it. I think that's why you have it on. I don't think I'm malicious, but they don't like people pointing out things that are obvious to the rest of the state, and I guess that's what we'll deal with, but we have a First Amendment right.
It comes back full circle to the point that Mike Madigan's welcome here anytime, as is the others who I've questioned about what they're doing and when they're doing it. The governor, meanwhile, I believe, I'm not sure about this, I think he may be appearing with us tomorrow, if not tomorrow, next week. How is he doing in the polls, and where does that whole thing stand?
I think in his race, he's fine. I think he's got a pretty substantial lead. Jeannie Ives is kind of a protest candidate. She'll get her 38-39%, which is not unusual. Even very popular Governor Edgar had an opponent that I can think got in the low 40s. So she'll get her votes, but the reality is she's just not electable in the state. And she did that racist ad. Her positions are way too far to the right to win statewide in the state. So I think the governor's in pretty good shape in the primary. But that being said, we got to encourage everybody to get out and vote, as we've been talking about for months. But I think the Democratic primary will be interesting. I don't want to speak for Eric, but the candidate I fear much more than as a Republican than J.B. Pritzker is Chris Kennedy.
I would think that he would probably be their best candidate.
Where I see a Jeannie Ives TV commercial every 2 seconds now on primetime. Where is she getting the money for that, and why pump all that money into the campaign?
Well, because her consultants are making money off it. They don't have any ground game. I mean, if you really want to win an election, you put money into getting your votes out, which means door knocking, a bunch of data analysis, and get your voters out. But it's easier for the people that run her campaign and make money to put commercials on.
Isn't there a chance, though, of people saying, and I guess this is with any candidate, oh my God, I'm so sick of seeing that same TV commercial. I'm not going to vote for the candidate because of it.
Yeah, I think there's commercials overload on both sides.
Yeah.
So the Lincoln Forum. Anything new you want to say about your Lincoln Forum?
Yeah, March 7th, big event. Thank you. Hosted by WGN, Ben Bradley. Mm-hmm. We've got John Cass. Just a great panel. John Cass from the Tribune, Mary Mitchell from the Sun-Times, Kristen McQuarrie from the Tribune, and Eric Zorn from the Tribune. So we're going to have broad spectrum of opinions, talk about everything Illinois politics, the election, everything else that's going on, the Madigan problems, the tax appeal. So we're very excited about this, and be hosted by Ben Bradley.
And the Make America Vote Again campaign continues through the primary on March 20th. Obviously, early voting's underway right now. Mm-hmm. We think you're registered because it's hard not to be registered in the state of Illinois. So our push here is to get you out and vote. And yesterday's gun conversation is a perfect example of that. If you've ever been a one-issue voter, maybe you're a one-issue voter about this. We, over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll try to educate you as much as possible during the time constraints of this show on where the candidates stand on the issues. However, you can do it very quickly yourself. You want to know where Chris Kennedy stands on guns? Google Chris Kennedy stance on guns. You'll get many articles. Same thing for every other candidate. So a little bit of research goes a long way, so you'll be fully prepared on March 20th, which, by the way, print it. Walk into any voting booth with all the paperwork you want, if you'd like, for help in how you decide who goes. But, Pat, again, if you could explain why primary turnout so important. And, again, 2014, 16% voted in Cook County, 19% in the state.
Well, because of gerrymandering, which hopefully the Supreme Court's going to fix here in June, the primaries oftentimes are the only game in town, meaning that the Democrat or the Republican in that particular district, if they win the primary, they're going to win no matter what. So you got to get out and engage in these primaries. And, I mean, come to Lincoln Forum. It's lincolnforum.org. You can learn a lot about the candidates, and not just the candidates' policy positions, but where they might take this state. So the primary is critically important for particularly in a state like Illinois.
The hard left and the hard right are the problem, not the solution. Don't let them control who, in fact, controls your life by way of representation.
And you do have control. You can go vote. And that's the only way you can exercise your control. You can scream all you want, but you got to get out and vote.
Got to be involved.
And I bet we're going to see a flurry of young people registering.
Well, hope. But the thing is, beyond registering, you got to vote.
You got to go. You got to show up.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've seen it before where kids get excited and they register, or people get excited and they register and they don't follow through. Make your plans. Now, it's like a save the date card. It's March 20th.
But you can vote
early,
too.
Early voting.
Yeah,
go right now.
Go vote right now.
And if you do procrastinate, you can register and vote on Election Day.
Yeah, but make sure you vote. This is Chicago's. Oh, we got to do a break. One break. We're back with the news. Dean will join us live from London coming up. And thank you, Pat.
Thank you, guys. See you.
More in a moment at 720 WGN.
Hey, I know an Olympian.
Do you?
I know him.
Do you really?
Come on. You don't know any Olympians.
Well, I mean, I kind of know an Olympian.
Sure you do.
Okay. Well, maybe not.
I know an Olympian.
Sort of. From the people on the Steve Cochran Show that brought you. Ah, that almost happened. And brush with Oprah. This is I Know an Olympian. Kind of. So if you have any story that, no matter how many degrees of separation, ties you to an Olympian, we would like to know at 312-981-7200. In the meantime, we want to congratulate Kendall Coyne and the U.S. women's hockey team, gold medal winners.
Yes.
And Kendall Coyne for her engagement.
Yes.
And she will be married, I believe, in May?
In May?
Is that right, May or June? I forget.
Sometime this spring. But she's
on her registration page is the wedding date.
Yeah, she's from Orland Park. Oh, it's July 7th is the wedding.
Okay. Like I said, May or June.
Yeah.
July 7th. All right, so she is registered at Bed Bath & Beyond because, as you know, it's a federal law that all weddings have to be registered at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, we got a kick out of this. It's cute because Kendall went to Sandburg High School, my rival high school, and registered at the Orland Park Bed Bath & Beyond. And I found there's a lot of cool things on here, but I think within our budget, we could easily get her a set of 6 measuring spoons for $3.99.
Okay, that's not cheap out. Let's see what else she has.
She just won a gold medal, for crying out loud. You're going to get her spoons?
Well, I'm thinking of our budget. I'm just trying to be economical.
I think that's your budget because you don't want to spend a lot of money on it. All right, so give us something in the $50 range. What do we have?
A covered butter dish.
That's for 50 bucks?
40.
That's pretty expensive for a butter dish.
Let's see what else we can get for 50 bucks. Oh, a 38-piece Rubbermaid Flex, like Tupperware, basically. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, here we go. The salad spinner, $49.99.
She's a hockey player. Does she eat a lot of salad?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she probably does now because she won her gold medal.
Yeah.
What's the most expensive thing on there?
Mm.
You could probably do filters that go from most expensive to least expensive.
Probably the Nest.
What's the Nest?
That's the thermostat that you buy, the Nest Learning Thermostat, for $250.
Yeah. Okay.
And everything else is, you know, glassware. There's a scale. Oh, there's also a blanket for $400. You can get her that. It's a Dream Zone light blanket.
Oh, and look,
gee, what's it made out of?
Look, there's a goalie mask. Blanket. Who knew a goalie mask was for sale at Bed Bath & Beyond?
Mm.
Look, there's hockey pads.
Oh, a juicer. That's only $35. We can do that.
A juicer for $35?
Yeah.
What kind of a juicer do you get for $35?
Hamilton Beach. It's like a juicer and a smoothie maker. Yeah.
Well, Kendall's a very economical kid.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so go to Bed Bath & Beyond. What do people search if they want to buy?
You can just search for Kendall Coyne.
They want to buy gold medal winning Kendall Coyne, a wedding gift.
Yes.
Kendall Coyne, Coyne.
Would that affect her Olympic status, I wonder, if she starts receiving gifts?
Well, she can get gifts at a wedding.
That's true.
Yeah, but
she's not accepting gifts in return for her. Well, I guess in our case.
Yes, she is, Steve. Yeah,
for gold.
Linda's in Madison. How do you know an Olympian?
I know Mark Johnson, the coach of the women's team here at the University of Wisconsin.
Nice.
His daughter was in my third grade classroom, and he kindly brought in his gold medal from the Miracle on Ice.
Wow.
We all wore his medal. And then years later, when the team was invited to light the cauldron in Salt Lake City, he brought in his torch.
Wow.
He was just so awesome. He invited our class to a women's game, and then he welcomed us over the marquee that we were in attendance. Just a beautiful, generous
individual. Sounds to me like he's kissing up to the teacher for a paper he didn't finish in third grade.
Oh, his daughter was so sweet and spunky, and she played on his team as well.
How about that? All right, hold on. You're definitely a winner. Let's go to Tom here. Tom, how do you know an Olympian?
I know a couple of them. One of them was the swimmer Grievers.
Grievers?
From
Northwestern.
I thought you were talking about Grover from Sesame Street, but that's different.
No, Grievers, I know his uncle. He's one of my customers I sell for Napa.
Okay, give me another one. That's good.
Also, too, I'm kind of related to Mary.
Vandeveld?
Yes. Does she know Ian, however you say that name?
Ian.
Okay.
Ian?
Who's he married to?
Jocelyn.
Yes, that's my second cousin.
Wow. Oh, that's unbelievable. Oh, you're practically married to Vandeveld.
And Ian is Christian's brother.
Exactly. We're on the same family tree, I guess, now.
You know, everybody... Thanks. Hold on, dude. We got some for you. It seems like we're going to have to do brushes with Vandeveld.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people claiming they're related.
I'm getting nervous.
I
got to do my DNA test again.
Donna's in Elgin. Donna, how do you know an Olympian?
My grandmother went to grammar school, Johnny Weissmiller.
Whoa!
Yeah.
How about that?
She used to skip school all the time to go swimming in the lake.
With Johnny Weissmuller? Hello. All right, Linda gets the monkeys tickets. Unless she can't go, then give her to one of the others. Steve and Larry, sorry we didn't have time to get to you. Give everybody else app cards because our friends at APT are nice enough to give those to us. Or Lou Malnati's Pizza at loumalnati's.com. Dean will join us live from London coming up.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
London calling to the faraway towns, now war is declared. The Clash, huh? We haven't had The Clash on in a while. London calling to the underworld. 823, if you're in London listening this morning and you see a guy that looks like Billy Joel wandering the streets... talking to himself. Well, that's our friend Dean. Let's go live to London now. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
I've already had people here in London ask me if I'm Tom Skilling.
You know, I didn't see that coming, but I'm not surprised. Yeah. He is international. Why are you in London?
I'm in London for a couple of reasons. Number one, there is a huge dance show that's coming to Chicago called Just Dance. Steve, I know you're familiar with the popular video game that all the kids love called Just Dance.
Mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm.
That has now been adapted into a full show in which people can actually participate and dance along.
There's a holiday a couple of years ago where my brother-in-law Ian and I had a dance-off on Just Dance, and I beat him. It was close. It was a battle, but I beat him.
Which dance did you do?
I'm trying to think of what we danced to. It was a freestyle. No, it was a freestyle, but I was highly impressive. Actually, no, it wasn't a freestyle because it tells you where to put your feet. You got to follow along.
Yeah, well, that's what this whole thing is about. So it's coming to Navy Pier, and I'm here to get an early preview of it. I'll be showing everybody and talking about it on the radio, talking to the producers, talking to the performers. So all of that is one reason that I'm here. But, Steve, the main reason I'm here is I'm on a humanitarian mission. I know that we have been reporting, and you and I have even talked about this, the great Kentucky Fried Chicken shortage of 2018.
This is a story that came up this week, which appears to be fully factual, that the UK has run out of chicken for Kentucky Fried Chicken. They got the K and the F. They don't have the C.
They don't have the C. A lot of places don't have the C. There's some shortage. I don't know what the deal is, but I went by several KFCs this morning, and there's big signs in the window that says closed. And, you know, it's like the middle of the lunch hour in busy sections of London, and these places are closed because there's no chicken.
I don't understand how the supply line could have gone down. There's still got to be farms with chickens. Why aren't the chickens being sold to the KFC people?
I am told that they switched suppliers here in the UK.
Oh.
And that there was some sort of snafu. They have 900 KFC restaurants, so it's not like you can go, you know, to the back of the barn and, you know, get a couple of chickens.
It's a big deal.
They have a lot of stores and a lot of chicken. So what we did was package up, you know, in ice, you know, those plastic ice things like cooler-like things.
Mm-hmm.
I went yesterday when I was coming to the airport, got a bucket of chicken from a KFC, packed it up in the ice, everything, so, you know, it would stay fresh and safe.
Fresh is the word I was thinking of.
Put it in my luggage, which really makes my clothes smell fantastic. By the way, I thought I packed it up pretty good, so that wouldn't happen, but turns out that's not the case. And then I went to a KFC location here, which was closed, and as is the American way, we reach out and help our brothers and sisters here across the pond, and I passed out fried chicken to people on the streets as a gesture of goodwill.
Yes, international hands across the oceans, greasy chicken-fingered hands across the waters so that we could all be brothers in KFC and sisters.
I prefer to call it breasts and thighs across America.
Is that even legal?
We're saving the UK one bucket at a time.
Yeah.
I'm surprised
the bomb-sniffing dogs didn't, you know, highlight Dean Suitcase.
Oh, you're thinking of the chicken-sniffing dogs. They were
that's
off,
what I mean.
They were off
and
Dean landed.
Right.
Would this be the equivalent
off,
of...
They're off on Thursdays, yeah.
Would this be the equivalent of Arthur Treacher's fish and chips here running out of fish?
Yeah.
Is Arthur Treacher still open?
I was going to say maybe in like 1970.
Like three. Because I worked there in like 19... let's see, it would have been...
70?
76 or 7.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to enjoy me some Arthur Treacher's back in the day.
I got fired. That's the first place I ever got fired.
Really?
Oh.
Actually, that's not true. I quit there. I walked out because I couldn't take the fact that I couldn't make the fish right, and the hot oil was burning my hands.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, because I dropped the fish fillet in the hot oil,
and then you have to batter it.
Yeah.
But the batter that I put on it made it look like aliens from a sci-fi movie.
Light batter.
Wasn't good. Wasn't good. Yeah, it just wasn't good.
So the response that I got on the street, now here's a perfect stranger from another country on the streets of London. I believe I was in the Chelsea neighborhood when I was doing this.
Sure.
I'm on the street with a bucket of chicken and some tongs, explaining to people that we've heard that they're having a chicken crisis here, and we would like to offer them a complimentary piece of fried chicken. And
fresh from Dee's luggage.
Right.
From the kind of a little bit smells like my underwear.
Well, let's not dampen the gesture.
No, I mean, it's clean and everything. Everything in my luggage is clean at this point. I wouldn't want to put it in my luggage going home because everything's going to be stinky then.
Yeah, sure.
But there was a very nice young lady who I met from Connecticut. She's actually was an American. And she refused my offer of free chicken, said she had already eaten lunch.
Typical American, American, turning down an international gesture of peace.
I ran into a bunch of Italians who were standing out on the street smoking and tried to explain to them. We had a little bit of a language barrier, but they did not grasp the concept of American bearing free chicken on the street. Oh, I had one very nice young lady who did understand me, and she completely turned me down, saying she hates KFC.
Oh, boy.
She didn't want it at all. I met a very nice Brit, you know, because the Brits are, if they're anything, they're polite.
Very polite.
One guy who looked like he didn't want any part of me whatsoever, but he took a chicken leg.
He did.
He gladly took a chicken leg.
That just warms my heart.
I'm standing on a corner, and like a motorcycle messenger kind of guy pulls up, also Brit, and I explained to him, and he happily, he acknowledged that there's a chicken crisis here. And he was happy to get, he took a nice big breath.
Well, this, who wouldn't? Honestly, who wouldn't? Where can we see video of these transactions?
I imagine, I fed them back to the big number nine. So okay. I imagine they're on WGNTV.com if all the technology worked properly.
I actually was tipped off that you may be doing this, and apparently communication isn't what I hoped it would be. I tried to alert the British version of TSA and Customs to confiscate Dean.
Yeah.
Let the chicken go, but to confiscate Dean when he came in and to pat him down for breasts and thighs. But apparently you got through clean.
See, this is what I get. I try to be a nice guy.
Oh, I just did it for the good time.
You know, to steal a line from Winston Churchill, I show up in Britain's darkest chicken hour trying to help.
Yeah, I think that was the exact quote.
Trying to help, and I get criticized for, you know, anybody else? Show of hands, anyone else? Who's traveled across the big pond with a bucket of chicken in their suitcase?
You are the only one. The only one that has sacrificed for the good of our friends in the UK. I'm just surprised a guy in a bobby hat didn't come up and hit you with a club.
I was very quick in my chicken passing out.
All right, so if you have time for any show business work there, what's it going to be?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to interview the cast of this Just Dance show.
Okay.
I'm going to interview the cast. I'm going to interview the producers.
Is there anybody we know?
No, not really. It's all young dancers.
What a sweet scam you worked out for a trip to London. Well done by you.
Very energetic cast. And, of course, I'm gonna try to see a couple of shows in the West End. Mm. There's Bryan Cranston is currently starring in Network, the stage version of the...
Oh, I bet he's great. Bryan Cranston's great, period.
Where he plays Howard Beale.
Oh, sure, he sticks his head out. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. It's the thing, same thing I said in the Tribune Tower in 2010.
And every day since. So that's truly one of the hottest shows on the West End. I'm going to try to see that. There's the Harry Potter musical, Harry Potter and The Cursed Child. I'm going to try to see that if I can. Somebody told me there's a Tina Turner musical that's going on right now, and I just want to see that just for my own yucks.
That'd be cool.
I love Tina Turner so much.
And but, West End Theater is fantastic. All right, go wash your hands. Go wash your hands. You're covered in chicken.
I do not smell very attractive right now. I reek of original recipe.
That's not original recipe. That's the seven herbs and spices that you're emanating.
11.
Oh, it's 11 herbs and spices?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm smelling 11 of them.
Thank you. Thank you for the international goodwill you've done, and have a safe trip back.
Pip, pip.
Yeah, pip, pip to you. who is the winner of our tickets to the Monkees? What was the name?
Linda from Madison, Wisconsin.
Linda from Madison, birthday is on June 14th.
Oh, excellent.
Guess what? That's the same night of the Monkees present the Mike and Mickey show.
Very cool.
Got the tickets for the Copernicus Center in Chicago. See the Monkees, hear the hits. Get tickets starting this Friday at 10 a.m. at TicketFly.com or CopernicusCenter.org.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show continues. 8:45. Barry Cronin, golf guru, golf snake oil salesman, golf huckster, golf tournament director, golf everything guy, joins us. Mr. Cronin,
how's it going, Steve?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great, thanks. So we're getting all set for the 35th annual Chicago Golf Show.
I thought you were just calling to check on me. So you're actually calling for the plug.
It's incredible. No, well, you know what? It's a public service to bring spring to your listeners.
You're exactly right. This weekend, the 35th annual Chicago Golf Show, Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. All sorts of cool stuff, kids, including watching Emery Moorhead, who's a pretty good player, Jim Morrissey and Otis Wilson all hack at it as they are featured and trying to get fixed. But listen, you can get private lessons with an actual pro in public. How's that work?
It's incredible. Well, the Illinois PGA provides probably 50 or so pros over the course of the weekend who come out, and we have a little indoor driving range there, and people can come in and actually get one-on-one lessons. And they organize it so that, you know, if you live south, then the pro that gives you a lesson, then you might actually go and see him again, to help you. Because, you know, in 5 minutes, as you know, Steve, not easy to get fixed in 5 minutes, but
that's a shot. That's actually a shot. Barry Cronin, he just took a shot at my golf game.
I've seen you play. You're way better than I am, which is, you know, the case for most people.
By the way, I hope the great Emo Esposito will be out there.
I'm sure Emo will make an appearance, as he often does. Sure. Although you never know. I think he might be in Arizona. I'm not sure, you know.
He's a big star. If you don't get Emil Esposito out there, you're going to be down on ticket sales. Go ahead.
Hey, Barry, we're going to be out there for WGN-TV's weekend break on Sunday. And what the cool thing is...
I know. We're preparing for you. We've got a lot going on to prepare for the arrival of Andrea.
Oh, I would hope so, too. I need lessons and lessons and more lessons. But what's really cool is I remember when this started, there was maybe 100 booths, 200 booths. Now there's 350. But you can get balls, you can get apparel, you can get shoes. It's just one-stop shopping.
Well, what really drives the show, and, you know, we've had many stars over the years, you know, come. We've had John Daly, Lee Trevino. Last year we had Ryan Sandberg come and everything. But, you know, what really drives the show is that people are able to go before the golf season starts and get, like, unbelievable deals on stuff. I mean, you get big bags of golf balls for, you know, really cheap. And so, you know, that way when you look in your bag and you hit a brand-new golf ball into the water, which I know never happens to Steve
never.
Or you, Andrea.
Never.
No.
You go, good Lord, why didn't I go to the golf show and buy one of those big giant bags of golf balls, and then I could have reserves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I usually go to the pro shop and just buy all my golf balls back from that plastic bin.
It really is kind of a mob operation after you lose your ball and you buy it back at a higher price.
Uh-huh.
Dave, say hi to Barry.
Hey, but they sell ball retrievers there, don't they, Barry? Don't they have the new ball retrievers?
Ball retrievers. And but, you know, after you get all that stuff, and, of course, you get good deals on shoes and apparel and all that stuff, but you can also see the go to the new club area, hit the brand-new clubs from various manufacturers, et cetera. And we have the long putt, 85 feet. And if you you make it, you get free round of golf, et cetera. And I think we're even doing it, excuse me, so if you get it within 2 feet of the hole, you actually get a prize for the long putt. So there
it's
you go.
It's a weekend in the Dells with Barry.
What's the hot thing as far as clubs now? I mean, as golf guru, Barry, what's the new trend?
Well, you know, the new trend is just kind of, to me, and Steve, you probably agree with this, it's kind of more of the same, you know. You know, bigger club heads and new fancy,
more hittable, little technological tweaks. Let me tell you something. Invest in a putter. Invest in a putter that you feel good about, and the rest of your game will suddenly start to develop because you're going to have lower scores.
You know, I agree with that 100%. And as you know, Steve, because you know you're a good player and you play a lot, but the short game and putting is certainly is certainly the deal, and you can get. Guess what? You could get at the Chicago Golf Show a free putting lesson. It's incredible.
It's good. That's
we
good.
Got it all
you should,
for you.
You should take
putters.
It. Should take them up on that. Definitely take them up on that. And Dave, if you want a giant driver,
yes,
they're out there, baby. TaylorMade is making drivers bigger than my head. And
TaylorMade,
let me tell you something.
Yeah.
But with the big sweet spot.
Yeah, the sweet spot. Like, if you look at my forehead, a sweet spot. They actually in R&D, they go, we need a Steve Cochran forehead size sweet spot. I'm the prototype. All right, so where do we get tickets?
Well, you go to ChicagoGolfShow.com, and you get tickets. And on Friday, we open at noon. It's $6 on Friday. It's $11 on the weekends. And there's, you know, discounts for kids, and some kids 12, under 12 are free. So you can bring the youngsters, get them addicted early, you know, which we like.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, it's fantastic. So
Golf Savant. Yeah. Barry Cronin. All right, one more plug. What's your last word?
That's it, man. You know what? I have one more for you. I have one more for you since it is WGN.
Yeah.
Our trick shot artist all 3 days is the great Peter Longo of Lexus Long Drive fame. And Instant Replay, Dan Rowan. Yeah, you've heard of all of them. Yeah, it's all about WGN, my friend.
By the way, breaking news. Dan Rowan did 3 nights in a row without going golfing. I'm telling you.
Well, he wasn't golfing during the show.
That's what. Yeah.
He's up early in Arizona, I'm sure.
To have Dan Rowan's life would be pretty good.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about? Player. I don't think there's a better media player in town. I don't think it's close.
No, I think he's plus one now, Steve.
He's tremendous. He's tremendous. He, it's annoying how good he is.
When you say, "Well, you know what?" I'm a two now. I'm a two handicap, and he's kind of whining about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It hurts you. It's a punch to the gut.
Right. Shame on him. Barry Cronin, the Chicago Golf Show. Get out there this weekend, kids, and start feeling good because spring's right around the corner. Thank you, Pil.
Thanks a lot, Steve. I really appreciate it.
And. We got something coming up, which is sort of related to this, because we're going to talk to Sarah Wood. Sarah and Carrie Wood have broadened the focus of the Carrie Wood Foundation. And they're even going to get a tie into the golf show.
Cool.
All right.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right. We have one more break before the news. All right. Let me tell you what's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. I mentioned Sarah Wood, Sarah and Carrie Wood. They've got some exciting news about the foundation they're going to be talking to you about. Chicago's Dana DiLorenzo from Ash vs. Evil Dead will jump on the phone with us, and we got some other stuff to get to. Do we decide what we're going to buy for Kendall Coyne?
I like the measuring cups, but you guys thought I was cheaping out, so do you want to do the blanket? It's like a $300 blanket, though.
I don't know. Vandeville, what do you think?
I like the blanket.
How much is the blanket?
Yeah. Blanket was, what, $249, I think it was?
It sounds soft. Is it wool? What is it?
It's cotton.
Oh.
And what's the secret? Why is it $249?
Because it's a specialty blanket.
But I mean, is it a special design, or does it do something?
It keeps you really warm in the winter, but you could also wear it or have it in the summertime, and it'll keep you cool. It's kind of like a MyPillow. It's like a magical blanket. It is, yeah.
Or we can do the thermostat, which is
it's
249.
It's a human thermos.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to figure that out. Kendall Coyne won the gold medal with the women's hockey team last night while we were all sleeping. The wedding registry under Kendall Coyne at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yes, bedbathandbeyond.com if all you want to search for it.
Because you know the gold medal winning Kendall Coyne, she's going to need a gift from us.
It's cool because it's listed at the Orland Park Bed Bath & Beyond because she's from Orland Park, obviously. So could you picture the two of them in there, you know, with their medals? When they register, they give you the little price check, the zapper.
Am I the only one that doesn't want to touch the medals that I didn't win?
Oh, I'd want to touch them.
Well, we've had gold medal winners in here before. We've had silver medal winners in here before.
Have you
had
touched
bronze medal winners before?
Have you touched
them? No, it's like the trophies. The trophies that come in here. Even the British Open trophy, I felt funny about touching.
How about the Stanley Cup?
Yes, I feel funny about touching that.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It's kind of like you didn't earn it.
Yeah, I didn't win it.
Well, you can't hoist it.
Yeah, right. But, you know, or kiss it, make out with it, with all the other horrible things that have happened.
So gross what people do.
Do things with it, yeah.
I mean, if that cup could talk, it'd be saying, help me.
No kidding.
Coming back with the news and CLTV joining us next in 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
First day with headphones, Steve. My headphones just attacked me. This is show number 1093 on Twitter at Cochran Show, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, 312-981-7200. Now crank this up a little bit. Let me hear a little blues. That's Super Joe Romano. Do you know he can play like that?
That's why I hired him.
Strong, isn't he?
Sounds like a buddy guy.
Got his big Elton John sunglasses on, bobbing his head like Stevie Wonder. He's unbelievable. It's 9:13. It's always a delight to see Sarah Wood. Sarah Wood in studio. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. Exciting news about the foundation in just a second. But you were telling us off the air about a vacation you just got back from, or recently got back from.
Yes, our 15th anniversary, we hiked Machu Picchu together.
When did Woody start whining?
Mile marker one. No, he's still in great shape, and we did it, and it was awesome.
Pretty cool thing, huh?
Yeah.
So after you got over the altitude sickness, when did you start celebrating?
Gosh, when you get the top and the clouds disappear and you see all the ruins.
It's got to be incredible, right?
It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see you.
Oh, thank you.
And why don't you introduce your new executive director like we're right here live on the show.
Yes. We are so blessed at the Wood Family Foundation to have Laura join us. Laura is our new executive director, and she is just a gift to us, and we are thrilled to announce her as a part of our team.
Well, that's very exciting. And Laura, is it Muriello?
Muriello,
yeah,
yes.
Laura Muriello. Talk a little bit about where you came from.
Oh, yeah. I was really drawn to the Wood Family Foundation and what they're doing through the Pitch-In program because I was the first person in my family to go to college. I went to Northwestern, and my first year there was really, really tough, and I struggled a lot, and, with just everything that comes with that, being the first person in your family to go. And it was a few mentors that really, pushed me and, made me dig into my inner drive to be successful there. And the Pitch-In program is all about matching high quality mentors with middle school students in CPS. And I've spent the last 15 years of my career in the middle school space around CPS as a teacher, administrator, and then most recently was at an organization called One Goal, helping to grow opportunities for college access for
students.
Which
is a great thing, too.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, Sarah, when you guys a big picture of the foundation, I knew you wanted to broaden it out, but I think it's a great step.
Oh, it's wonderful. I think we're in a great spot to have someone like Laura lead us, and what she's done at One Goal speaks volumes for what she can do for us. And there's a void in the middle school space that we think that we can attack. And I think obviously there's a spot for high school, but these kids are on fourth grade, and it's so important to go that early as we can really make a difference and be that partner for them and a mentor for them when they're still in that phase of believing that it's possible.
Absolutely. Fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, life-changing years.
You bet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The baseball field up north is fantastic, it's in the classroom stuff too, though. Opportunities that you've provided, cooking and classes and languages, there's all kinds of opportunities for kids out there that they probably don't even know that they exist.
Oh, it's amazing. And the great thing about this program is we have our summer programming where it's field trips. So, they were at the Vertiport taking a helicopter ride around the city. They're at Sofitel doing a French cooking class. They're really experiencing the city and seeing a lot of them had never been downtown. So although you think that they live, it's amazing. It's 5 miles from here. So they're really confined to their neighborhood, so they can see what's possible. They can dream, and it's been amazing. And our seventh grade class is our longest tenure, and they are really flying and doing excellent work at school and participation and attendance, and we're thrilled.
So, Laura, do you need mentors?
We are definitely looking for mentors, both for the school that we're already at in North Lawndale, and then also as we look to expand to a couple more schools and a couple more neighborhoods over the next few years. We're looking for mentors that might be willing to make a long-term commitment to our students. They want to get to know our students one-on-one, all walks of life, any type of role model for our students, and we'd be really thrilled.
Well, that's the commitment, right? I mean, you're going to be a buddy for life, because when you dive in with a kid, it's important to be consistent and stick around.
Absolutely, and the genuine, authentic connection is so important.
By the way, the website is Wood Family Foundation, WFFPitchIn, PITCHIN.org. And all the information, I assume, is right there.
Yes.
Yeah. So what else do you need? How about money? Want some money?
Oh, sure. Yeah. What you got? Sure.
You can donate online?
Oh, you can donate online. You can attend one of our events. We do a gala, storybook gala in the fall. We have Woody's Winter Warm-Up in January around the Cubs convention. So we have different ways to get involved, you know, financially with support, but mentors were really looking for you guys. That would be great.
Out of this tragedy in Florida, we're seeing a lot of these students, I don't even want to say kids, these students arise now, and they're speaking out, and they're vocal, and they're fluent. Do you guys see that too, that these kids at this age have a voice, and they want to be heard, and now is really the time for them to speak out about what they want, because they're going to be supporting us. They're going to be the next generation.
Yeah, I think we absolutely do. Our students know what they need, and you know, they can really, even in fourth grade, they can tell you, you know, what they need in order to be successful and what resources they're lacking. And, you know, it's our job to listen and then to provide those things to them.
Yeah, because here's the deal. You want a kid to be able to maximize their life. They can't do that unless you expose them to a ton of different things. They don't know what they're interested in. So show them things that they could become interested in. You probably created some chefs.
Oh, yeah. And it's even creating artists. We have, you know, we gave Jalen, one of our kids in fourth grade, a sketchbook, and he has taken that. Just someone paid attention and saw an interest, and now he is sketching full time. And it's once you can see what, you know, what they're interested in, get to know them. And like Laura said, listen. We need to do a lot more listening at all levels for children. So I think as long as we're doing that, we're empowering them.
Shut up more and listen more.
You bet.
Laura, I know you guys are super busy, so I appreciate you coming over. But other than the website, what do you want people to know?
I think that the one thing I really would want people to know is that middle school students have so much potential, and that the transition from eighth grade to ninth grade is so critical. We need to make sure that our students are set up to be successful right away in ninth grade when they get to high school, because that's just going to propel them on for a strong high school career and a strong college career, and we know that makes such a difference. So I think that.
We do Kid of the Week every week here, where we highlight good news about kids, and it's always amazing to me when you see little kids in that fourth to sixth grade thing. Is such a sweet spot.
Yeah,
who absolutely. Or get turned on to charity or get turned on to helping others because somebody, an adult in their life, cared enough to show them the way. So good for you guys. You're doing some good stuff. Dave, last word.
Well, no, I'm just very impressed by this. How often are you able to actually interact with the kids in North Lawndale or wherever?
Oh, Carrie and I, or as a mentor?
Well, either or.
You know, our mentors are there one day a week. We ask for at least 2 days a month for their commitment, and it's after school up until about 5:30. And the great thing about North Lawndale is it's only a few miles from the Loop, so it's convenient for folks. We're hoping to stretch into possibly Humboldt Park, which is just right near Bucktown. I mean, these are neighborhoods that are right next to us that it's easy access to get into and to lend a hand. Carrie and I are there as much as we can. We love to be a part of field trips and experiences for them, and we especially, it's funny, it's like our firstborn is that first class we have. They're in seventh grade now, and we know them all by name.
Wow.
and feel very connected to them. So it's, we just saw them a couple weeks ago, and so it's seeing that class go from eighth grade. And the thing about the city is, because the process of enrolling into high school, it's not a a given that you're going to go to your neighborhood high school, and a lot drop out in eighth grade. So our goal is to kind of take them from eighth grade, help them get placed in a great high school, and we're going to start tours soon, and they're going to start dreaming, and it's pretty exciting.
That's great.
Yeah, and we talk about this all the time. You know, there's folks who live in the burbs, and you got a nice life and a safe life, and you don't have to worry about your kids the same way folks in these neighborhoods do. And I said it a million times, 99.9% of the people in the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago want the same thing you want.
You bet.
And their kids who go to school want to come home, want to have a family, want to have a life. This is how you can help. You pitch in, literally, and you step up, and you mentor.
Absolutely.
It doesn't cost you anything other than your time, and you're going to get more out of it than you ever put in.
And like you said,
right?
Both of you, too, these are our neighborhoods. This is our city. This is, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump from us. This isn't, you know, so remote. So get out there and help in any way you can.
Nice job on the hire with Laura.
Oh, we think so, too.
We were we ran her numbers and did background check.
She's legit.
Looks like it's all good.
Yes.
I'm glad I passed.
One thing, though, you can't have a seventh grader. That can't be.
Yes, we are. I'm a middle school mom. Oh, we're getting old.
Careful.
Yeah, easy.
Careful. You're looking at a first-time grandfather.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
It's tremendous. Trust me. Listen, Sarah Wood, nice to see you as always.
You're always
welcome here. And Laura, whatever you need, let us know.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Congratulations to Donald J. Trump and the president's listening session. He actually listened yesterday. Took a fair amount of heat afterwards because he was holding a note card. And on the note card, the last thing on the note card was a statement of empathy. What was it? I hear you.
Was number three. Bullet point three.
It was five because you couldn't see three and four because his hand was
I thought the number was... It's
no, the first two you could see, you couldn't see three and four, and then you could see five.
I got it.
But I hear you, the point of the internet being you got to write down that you feel empathy. Look, we're all, and I'm guilty of this too, I expect to be disappointed by Donald Trump. So when something like that happens, we can jump on it. Frankly, I think there's more material out there, and I give the guy credit. I give the guy credit for listening. I don't agree with much of anything he says, but I certainly think that he deserves credit for taking the time to listen. Let's keep in mind, since 1999, Bill Clinton didn't do it before he got out of office. George W. Bush didn't do it. Barack Obama didn't do it. Donald Trump has an opportunity now to execute and push for legitimate common sense gun laws that we not only need, we have to have.
Yeah.
And I certainly hope it's more than just words, because too much of the first year of Trump was just that, just words. The thing that I have great disagreement with him on is the idea that we should arm teachers. It just doesn't make any sense at all. So, and everyone you know is a cop, cops, military, they'll tell you, no, we don't need more civilian guns. We need less civilian guns. There's lots of ways to attack this problem, but it seems that in the immediate, you need to make it very, very difficult to get into schools just by way of entrances.
Right.
And you need to come up with common sense laws. And by the way, I hate to break it to you. One of the common sense laws is you don't need an assault rifle. You don't.
Right.
And last night, Marco Rubio was complaining, saying this bill would ban over 200 guns and would be unconstitutional. Well, then fix the bill.
Right.
Fix the bill, rewrite the bill, and give us a bill that works.
And two, penalties should be much more strict as well. This four-time convicted felon out on the streets.
Gun crimes, you don't come out.
Absolutely. You don't get a slap on the wrist and then get to be free.
So I salute President Trump. That's right, I said it. I salute President Trump. Andre's going to have a grabber.
Whoa.
For having the listening session.
Yes.
But take it beyond the three measures you've already brought up. Push for it. You have the ability to do it. And you could embolden and really strengthen your presidency by doing this.
What did you say again? I want to hear it again.
I just had a shiver.
Well, me too.
It's 9:31. We're coming back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Hi, y'all. I'm trying to shed my good girl image. Sorry, Daddy, because I want to be like a legitimate actress like Julia Roberts. So here's my audition for all you producers out there if ever you remake any of these movies. Okay, if you remake Dirty Dancing, here's my audition. I carried a watermelon.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
That's a better Miley Cyrus than Miley Cyrus does. That's how good that is. Dana DiLorenzo
proud DePaul graduate. And by the way, Dana, hi and welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Stephen. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I love the Miley, by the way. But, you know, you got so many accolades for Beth, the CBS exec on the great Craig Ferguson Late Late Show. I really felt like you nailed it, though, as Sandra the Rhino. I felt it was understated, yet really authoritative.
Thank you. I agree. I had a whole day doing that one. And, I encourage everyone to try something, which is never puppeteer in your life. And then go into an audition where they give you, honestly, like an airplane controller and have a guy come up to you in front of the CBS executive and say, this is up, this makes a house move, this makes a mouth move, this makes... I'm like, what? And then just improvise with Craig Ferguson, the magic.
You be a rhino. You be a rhino. You'll know Dana's pain. You be a rhino.
You be an animatronic rhino when you've never done anything except sock puppet in your life.
People.
Hey, wait, Steve, I think I'm in trouble.
What are you talking about?
You want to know why, Steven?
Of course I do.
Because I'm cheating. I'm cheating on my future ex-husband with you.
You're talking about Mancow. Look, the fact that you made the mistake of being on Mancow's show for a few years.
I'm talking about Nick DeGiglio.
Oh, no, listen, you know DeGiglio. DeGiglio loved the Craig Ferguson experience so much. I'm surprised that he didn't try to take you hostage.
He did. I have been hostage in his studio. We talk about once a month.
Oh, that's cool.
Sometimes it's recorded. But now he's going to be mad because I'm cheating.
No. Well, he's a little brother I never asked for. We love Nick. We love Nick. All right, I got to get a plug in before we run out of time because Ash vs. Evil Dead's back on Stars. This is funny. It's suspenseful. It's rhino-free. It's everything you want in great TV. Now, you're coming back as Kelly Maxwell, right?
Yes, we're coming back. Season 3 premieres this Sunday, the 25th. And, yes, I'm coming back as Kelly Maxwell, the badass with the foul mouth. With sarcasm as a special skill. And this whole season, man, it's all the things. You just said it. It's all the things. It's horror, it's comedy, it's action. And this year, we've raised the stakes a little bit from drama. You might even cry, and not just from gagging.
You listen, here's the thing. I have nothing but respect for how hard you work. You went to, let me tell you something. Dana went to Hollywood, went to work.
Right.
She auditioned for everything. She'd been working pretty much nonstop. You're killing it. I'm a fan. You're always welcome here. And I certainly hope we get to see you next time you're in town. But you're never cheating on Nick. We love Nick.
No, I know. I just, well, then, see, now it's recorded because then I just have to say that. So then he can't cry about it later because you know he's going to cry. But I miss Chicago so much. Chicago is, you know, that's my home away from home. 10 years I lived there. I went to DePaul. Blue Demons. So I'm hoping to get
Dana, we're worried about you, you know, because your plans to kill Ruby, you know she was Xena, right?
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
I didn't. No, there's a funny video. I think I might have posted it. Lucy Lawless, by the way, Lucy Flawless is my name for her, which fans will claim that they call her that. But her middle name is actually Frances, but she actually is Flawless. She's one of those annoying people that if she wasn't so amazing, you'd hate her.
Yeah.
She knows everything about everything and has all these skills. When we were shooting in the woods, she just picks up a stick and starts, like, Xena warrior princessing it. Like, and I go, oh my God, I want to learn how to do that. Thing is like a baton. Huh? And then hit myself immediately in the face.
I
have the video to prove it.
She's smart. She's beautiful. She's successful. Who needs that? Much like our friend Dana. All right, Dana, hold on a second.
Who needs that?
Dana DiLorenzo. Thank you very much. Ash vs. Evil Dead, Sunday night at 8 o'clock Chicago time. On Stars. David Hochberg's here. David is not on any television shows currently other than the CLTV show he's on right now. Wave at the camera, David.
Hi, CLTV.
Wave at the camera. We got a little bonus David Hochberg today because he came in on the wrong day. He was coming in to see us on the street.
I thought you were going to mention that.
No, listen, we're friends. I can say it.
That is great.
Yeah.
All right, now listen, I heard you talking off the air about this a second ago. Interest rates up or down?
Interest rates are inching up, have been inching up since January 9th, 10th. Today, the average 30-year fix is at 4.38%. Still hearing ridiculous ads from my competition. If you're not in the threes, call us. Be careful of the bait and switch. Be careful of what they're quoting you. When you go on these websites, because I search them, I search my competitors' websites all the time, you're seeing 3.875, but like in 24 to 30 font, but in the 6 to 4 font, it says 5.1 arm. And, you know, it's very deceiving because people are still thinking that we're still in the threes.
Well, look,
in the
full disclosure, you and I are friends. Having said that, anybody that has a deal pending with another company, I'm telling you, you're foolish if you don't at least call Team Hochberg and say, can I at least show you the paperwork on this and tell me if I'm doing the right thing? Because that's one of the things I respect about what you guys do. If somebody's got a sweet deal somewhere that's legit, you'll tell them. The problem is too many of them aren't legit.
Well, Ross, your son, just got done about 6 weeks ago. I'm on a treadmill. I know that's a horrible sight in a lot of people's eyes and people.
We'll try to get it out of our heads.
I apologize for, you know, for the therapy session that you're going to have to go through, that your listeners will have to incur. But I get a call. I get an email. I went to the Rocket Loving lender. I'm getting quoted $9,100 in closing costs, or $8,100 in closing costs, something ridiculous. So I'm on the treadmill. I call her right back. She's like, well, I can't believe you called me back. I go, well, any time that I see somebody getting violated that badly, I got a call. No, it's like $9,100. So I'm like, what are you doing?
Wait, let me lower the volume. Okay.
No. I'm trying to.
He's calm.
I'm in a sports jacket and a collared shirt. I'm okay today.
He's okay.
I'm okay. I'm doing my Kegel exercises right now. So I call her and she's telling me she's a single mother of two kids. She lives in Iowa, and she travels to the North Shore for a job. She works here 3 days a week, overnights at 4 days a week, overnights at three, and goes back to Iowa.
Commitment. Okay. That kind of commitment, and the Rocket's going to steal her money. Now, hold on. Put a bookmark in that.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish the story. It's 9:50, more with Mr. Hochberg, who's available anytime to talk to you and not yell at you, unless you deserve it, at 312-751-1333.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Hi, David Hochberg.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Okay.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
When last we left this story, a nice lady, a single mom, busted it so she can care for her family,
right,
is about to be ripped off by the Rocket.
Rocket Loving Lender. I emailed Ross right away. I said, because she listens to your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Ross, she listens to your dad's show. Call her ASAP, gets her on the phone. Long story short, run her credit, put her into the same loan that the Rocket Loving Lender wanted to put her into, and credit her back all her closing costs. So
instead of $9,100 or $8,100 or whatever you said the number was, it's now...
We gave her a credit for the full closing costs, so it didn't cost her anything. So
that's what I'm saying. Listen, people shop around, okay, fine.
Right.
But at least do yourself a favor and call Hochberg. If you can't do it, I'll tell you.
Can I make a point real quick?
I don't know. Can you?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
I don't own a Rocket. I have no interest in owning a Rocket. I don't have to maintain a Rocket, and I don't have to broadcast in 50 states and every gas station where I pump gas, mm-hmm, to let people know that I have a Rocket. So somebody's paying for that, and the single mother of two kids in Iowa is paying for it. And if you want to go that route, don't be caught up in the PR and the hype, and you're going to start hearing a bunch of promotions right now with the perfect bracket, because they've been doing it for years with the big tournament coming up. Just beware of what's out there, and if it sounds too good to be true in anything.
Yeah, trust your instinct.
Trust your instinct, and for goodness sakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Be careful. That's it.
Thank you for having me. Wow.
I'm trying to be calmer. I've given
commitment to health.
I've given
hey, you
shouting
want to congratulate
up for
your daughter?
What?
Want to congratulate?
It's my daughter's bat mitzvah next Saturday, Lindsay Jo Hochberg, and a
beautiful girl,
beautiful young
like
lady.
Like her mom. Thank God.
Thank God. Thank for the praise. Praise the Lord for that. So she is getting bat mitzvah next Saturday. So
that's wonderful.
Yes, I want to warn all 130 kids that are there that there will be security guards there, and if you try to take over my party, your parents will be lined up outside to pick you up. So have a good time, but be respectful.
Wow, there we go. said very calmly, though.
Hey, Mr. Hochberg, really looking forward to this. Yeah, get in, get out.
And sit down.
Get your goodie bag.
And your mosh pit. I'll give you a mosh pit. Go over there. Here's the montage.
Hey, I don't know the rules on a bat mitzvah. Is there a goodie bag for everybody that comes?
Please, there's goodie bags. There's stuffed animals. This thing has gotten... I was the guy we were talking during the break that I'm not going to get caught up in the North Shore nuttiness of the craziness of the bar and bat mitzvahs.
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, I'm in line with the other idiots. I'm in the carpool line right behind the other morons, shelling out. It's like
$400 for this, $500 for that.
It's like a mini wedding.
It's nuts.
Sorry, David. Sorry, Steve.
I was hoping to get her married off. You know, in the old school,
you don't even get a son-in-law out of this that you can hang out with occasionally.
Back in the day, you'd get a couple of cows, maybe a horse, some chickens. You don't get anything.
No dowry for you.
I'm just saying.
By the way, Team Hochberg, 312-751-1333, Pearl Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage License, C-4358, NMLS number 19186. Listen, right day, wrong day, you're always welcome here.
Well, thank you. I apologize for barging in, but thanks
no
for
having problem.
Me. I'll see you next Thursday.
See you later. All right, back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I could never pretend that I don't love you. You could never pretend that I'm your man. That's exactly the way.
Well, we've done all we can do here today. I want to thank Sarah Wood and Dana DiLorenzo. Watch me try to remember all the guests we had on the show today.
Pat Brady, Lourdes Duarte.
Pat Brady and Lourdes Duarte. Chuck Todd. And the hundreds of others that appeared on the show today. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Mary.
Oh, you're welcome.
Steve, thank you.
Hey, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Are you going on vacation or something?
Yeah, but not now.
Oh.
A couple weeks away.
Did Pat Brady and Lourdes Duarte do that Stiller and Mara bit that they always do?
They did. They crushed it.
She said he was so mean. He was spunky today.
He was spunky. Yeah. He was trying to impress her.
Yeah, you're right.
Uh-huh. And then she mentioned her mom's single, and he moved right over to that. He goes, well, I can get to Florida quick.
Wow.
So, weird. Yeah. But if you're looking for a lovely woman, beautiful, like Lourdes, beautiful lady, she's in Miami, and she's single. And who knows? Huh? Maybe this is the match.
Well, give Pat
it's all
a
part of my new Dial a Cuban dating service that I'm doing now. What are you guys doing today?
Same thing.
Exactly? Like in the same order?
No, in a different order, but the same bits, the same funny bits.
It's tremendous. Good for you. Here's Wendy.